It may surprise some of you to know that not all Messianic Jewish congregations consider themselves to be Jewish and part of the wider Jewish community. Perhaps it doesn't surprise you because you know that many in the wider Jewish world do not consider Messianic Jews Jewish and part of them. Not only that, but many in the church see it the same way. That because we believe in Jesus, their term for Yeshua, we are part of the church and therefore not Jewish, because everyone knows that Jews don't believe in Jesus, right? Wrong. Those among us who are born Jewish are still Jewish. We've been through that already, and for us, it's a settled matter. But what isn't settled is what it means to be Jewish beyond just having Jewish genes. Is our congregational community a part of wider Judaism or some kind of third species? After I came to faith in 1976 and joined Beth Messiah Congregation in Rockville, Maryland, I didn't consider Beth Messiah Jewish. I and other Beth Messiah members considered our congregation Messianic Jewish, part of the Christian world, not part of the Jewish world. To us at that time, the wider Jewish world was completely bankrupt because it did not believe in Yeshua. In our eyes, only we were the true and continuing Judaism, and the only hope for anything good coming out of the other Judaism was for it to repent and become part of us. I will return to speaking about Messianic Jewish congregations in a moment, but first I want to say a few words about the Jews who populate them. Over the years, I changed my views about my identity as a Messianic Jew. Not about the importance of believing in Yeshua, but about my identity as a Jew among Jews. All Jews, not just Messianic Jews. And I changed my views about the capacity and continuing responsibility of Jewish non-believers in Yeshua to serve God with the godly attributes they possess. What changed my views? Primarily two things. The first is Exodus 19, verses 5 to 6. And the second are the Jews who inhabit Israel. First, the Exodus 19 scripture. It reads this way. Now, if you will pay careful attention to what I say and keep my covenant, then you will be my own treasure from among all people. All the earth is mine, and you will be a kingdom of Kohanim, that is priests. For me, a nation set apart. These are the words you are to speak to the people of Israel. I had read that scripture soon after I came to faith, but the depth of it didn't hit me at first. It had to grow on me. My initial understanding was that my sole responsibility as a Jewish believer in Yeshua was to minister Yeshua to my fellow Jews who did not believe and bring them to salvation. I understood that I was to minister to those others that God might cause to cross my path as well, but I saw my principal role as ministering to Jews, with eternal life being the only end product that I envisioned or thought of to be of value. It is an understatement to say that I was influenced by the evangelical points of view that I had been taught. But over time, Exodus 19:5-6 and also Genesis 17:4-5 impacted my thinking. Genesis 17:4-5 says, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. He's speaking to Avram. You will be the father of many nations. Your name will no longer be Avram, exalted father, but your name will be Avraham, father of many, because I have made you the father of many nations. The significance of Abraham being the father of many nations began to grow on me. Many nations. Why many nations? Didn't God make his covenant with Abraham to be the father of the Jewish nation? I had always thought of Abraham as being the patriarch of the Jews, but this seemed to be saying something much more expansive. And then the Exodus 19 scripture. God said that those following Moses, the Israelites, later to be called Jews, were to be a kingdom of priests, a nation set apart. Priests to whom? To themselves? That doesn't make sense. So we must be priests to the other nations, the Gentile nations of the world. So I, a Jewish believer in Yeshua, am a priest. That's awesome. But God wasn't speaking to Messianic Jews in Exodus 19, verses 5 to 6. He was speaking to just plain Jews. More and more I saw that the covenantal responsibility of bringing priests to the Gentiles of the world was given to all Jews, and that a Jew does not abrogate his responsibility to the covenant by his not recognizing Yeshua. Now, why do I say that the Jews in Israel influenced my thinking? It is because the majority of Jews in Israel today are not believers in Yeshua, and yet every day of their existence is a priestly testimony to the rest of the world of God's existence. They are largely unaware of it, but they are serving God through their very lives. Now, don't get me wrong. A Jew who has not embraced Yeshua, the Holy Spirit, and the new covenant cannot function as fully in his priestly calling as one who has. But that does not mean that he is released from his covenant responsibility and has nothing of God with which to serve. Now that I have explained my beliefs concerning the covenant responsibilities of individual Jews, both Messianic and non-Messianic, I will return to what I began to speak about, which are Messianic Jewish congregations and Ohev Yisrael in particular. As I have said, some Messianic Jewish congregations consider themselves Jewish and some do not. Ohev Yisrael does consider itself Jewish because it sees itself as a home for Messianic Jews, and Messianic Jews are Jewish. And since the Messianic Jews within Ohev have a covenantal Jewish responsibility, as do the Gentiles who join them in that vision, so does Ohev. That is not controversial. What is controversial is whether by virtue of our being Jewish, a Jewish congregation, we are genuinely part of the wider Jewish community of congregations. They say no, we say yes. Now, is that merely chutzpah on our part? Let's take our cue from the Bible. Matthew 4, verses 23 to 24 says, Yeshua went all over Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news to the kingdom and healing people from every kind of disease and sickness. Word of him spread throughout all Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill, suffering from various diseases and pains, and those held in the power of demons and epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. We see that Yeshua spent much time and ministered healing in local synagogues, and God used his participation in Jewish religious life to spread his word. Similarly, in Matthew 13, verses 53 to 54, we see that Yeshua taught in his childhood synagogue. It reads this way, when Yeshua had finished these parables, he left and went to his hometown. There he taught them in their synagogue, in a way that astounded them, so that they asked, where do this man's wisdom and miracles come from? And in Luke chapter 4, verses 33 to 36, we read that Yeshua cast out demons in the synagogue. Here's how it reads. In the synagogue, there was a man who had an unclean demonic spirit who shouted in a loud voice, Yah! What do you want with us? What do you want with us, Yeshua from Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know you are the Holy One of God. But Yeshua rebuked it. Notice it says, didn't say rebuked him, it says rebuked it, the demon. Be quiet and come out of him. The demonic spirit threw the man down in the middle of the crowd and came out of him, having done him no harm. They were all astounded and said to one another, what kind of teaching is this? Why? He gives orders with power and authority to the unclean spirits and they come out. Yeshua also frequented the holy temple. Matthew 21, verses 12 to 14 is just one of the instances where he healed the blind and the lame. It reads this way, Yeshua entered the temple grounds and drove out those who were doing business there, both the merchants and their customers. He upset the desks of the money changers and knocked over the benches of those who were selling pigeons. He said to them, it has been written, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it into a den of robbers. Blind and lame people came up to him in the temple and he healed them. And very significant is that Yeshua ministered in ordinary places within the Jewish community as well. Luke 4, 38 to 40. Leaving the synagogue, he went to Shimon's house. Shimon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked him to do something for her. So standing over her, he rebuked the fever, and it left her. She immediately got up and began helping them. After sunset, all those who had people sick with various diseases brought them to Yeshua, and he put his hands on each one of them and healed them. Okay, you say, that was Yeshua. We are not Yeshua. We are his disciples. Well, then consider one of his disciples, the Apostle Paul. He ministered in the synagogue and the temple. We read in Acts 17, verses 1 to 3, after passing through Amphipolis and Apollonia, Shaul and Sila came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue. According to his usual practice, notice usual practice, Shaul went in, and on three Shabbats he gave them drashes from the Tanakh, explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and that this Yeshua, whom I am proclaiming to you, he said, is the Messiah. In another occasion in the temple, the results were less positive. Acts 21, 27 to 30. The 7 days were almost up when some unbelieving Jews from the province of Asia saw him in the temple. They stirred up all the crowd and grabbed him. Men of Israel, help, they shouted. This is the man who goes everywhere teaching everyone things against the people, against the Torah, and against this place. And now he's even brought some goyim into the temple and defiled the holy place. They had previously seen Trophimus from Ephesus in the city with him and assumed that Shaul had brought him into the temple. The whole city was aroused and people came running from all over. They seized Shaul and dragged him out of the temple, and at once the gates were shut. I don't know why I'm giving you just these few examples. I might as well have handed you the entire New Testament, since all of Yeshua's and a substantial amount of his disciples' times were spent among and within the wider Jewish community of their day. In Judaism's institutions and in ordinary places, but clearly among Jews who did not believe that Yeshua was whom he claimed to be and whom he was. It was natural for them to do so because the wider Jewish community was the community into which they were born. Yes, they formed new communities of believers and fellowship there as well, but except for when some of them, like Paul, traveled to predominantly Gentile cities, they connected with their Jewish people wherever they were. Now, what about us at Ohev? We call Ohev a Jewish congregation, and we think of ourselves as part of the wider Jewish community. But what about that is reality? Do we as a congregation participate in or contribute to Jewish works that are not messianic? The answer is largely no. Do we as a congregation have a relationship with even one Orthodox, conservative, or Reform synagogue or with one rabbi? The answer is no. Do our members belong to Jewish organizations, make use of facilities at Jewish community centers, participate in Jewish causes, and occasionally visit other synagogues? A very few of us do, but generally the answer is also no. So on what basis do we say that Ohev is part of the wider Jewish world? We explain our non-participation by saying that we have been rejected in the past and that we will surely be not allowed to participate. But have we tried? Have we pressed in? Yes, we have been rejected and often are still rejected, but don't we, by our attitude of isolation, reject them as well? Did the Apostle Paul quit trying because he was rejected? I would like there to be for Ohev and Ohev members the dawning of a new day of Jewish community participation, making it a reality that we are a Jewish congregation and a legitimate part of the wider Jewish community. To help us move in that direction, I have asked Hillary Wiener, she's not here today, she's traveling. I've asked her to research and make available to us opportunities in Virginia, D.C., and Maryland where our members who desire it can participate in Jewish activities and be among Jewish people in the process. These include attending lectures, joining and volunteering in Jewish organizations, joining the local JCC, attending synagogue services, helping out at cultural events, supporting causes for Israel, and many others. What I am proposing is that we be part of the wider Jewish community as a natural extension of our lives while not hiding our faith in Yeshua. The idea is to normalize our lives as Jews or Gentiles among Jews. It is not to overtly evangelize, but I am confident that over time, the testimony of our messianic faith will shine through loud and clear. In concert with this, I am also proposing that we begin using the minor Jewish holidays, that is, days that we don't have services, to join with the wider Jewish community in their observances. One such day coming up is Yom HaShoah, or Holocaust Remembrance Day. This year it falls on April 28th, and there will be many activities on that day from which we can select. I said earlier that some members of Ohev are already involved in the general Jewish community, so I invited a few of them to share their experiences with you today. I asked Bob Blicksilver, but he had to teach, so he couldn't be here. But however, he wrote a short letter to you, which I'm going to read. He says, Dear Michael, thank you for the invitation to share. Over the years, since becoming a believer and moving to this area, I have tried to stay connected to the wider Jewish world. I joined the Jewish Community Center of Northern Virginia close to 10 years ago. Although distance from the facility and my schedule do not permit me to visit the JCC more than a couple of times a year, subscription to the JCC's magazines and newsletters keep me informed of religious and cultural events and programs year-round. For example, at a JCC movie festival that I attended, one of the first DC screenings of Ush Pizin, the highly acclaimed Israeli film that focuses on life in an Israeli Orthodox community during the holiday of Sukkot. And it was through a JCC announcement that I learned of a Hanukkah concert and program, the program is sponsored by Chabad, as well as this traditional lighting of the national menorah every year at Hanukkah. In recent years, the Jewish community in Northern Virginia has hosted an Israel Street Fest in Fairfax at their shopping center complex in the spring. At this day-long fair, local congregations, other Jewish organizations, and Israeli vendors promote Jewish life here in the capital region and in Israel, and a large stage with dancers and musicians helps to contribute to the festival atmosphere. Ohev Haaretz Chavura usually schedules its monthly meeting to coincide with the street fest, and members of the Chavura are encouraged to attend. On occasions when Ohev has not held services on holy days, I have attended services at congregations in the area ranging in level of observance from independent progressive to conservative to Orthodox, including Sephardi Orthodox. I always learn something new in those services, a new melody in the liturgy, a new interpretation of a biblical Hebrew phrase, new insights into commentaries, a new perspective on some small hidden way by which Yeshua may be interacting with a community, as he has done with so many dating back to shuls in Nazareth and Capernaum. And then there are the Jewish delicatessens and other kosher style markets, but we'll cover all that up at the Oneg, he says. So that was what Bob had to say to you, and I would like to ask our elder Doug to come up. He has something to contribute as well.
Shabbat Shalom. Mike asked me to share a little bit of my experience. I want to read a scripture first. In Colossians 4:3. Meanwhile, praying for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Messiah, for which I am also in chains. Cindy and I have tried to be natural but purposeful in our connection to the Jewish community over the years. I was thinking of different ways. Prominently a lot through my family. I've been with my parents many times to the synagogue that I grew up in and that they still are part of. And although they're health is bad now, so they can't go. This, through family connections, is a huge way that we've been connected to the Jewish community. In fact, when my dad was ill in the hospital, I got to interact with two rabbis that came by. One of them was the head rabbi at Bethel. Other ways in our travels, many times, Cindy and I have been in synagogues as we travel the southern part of the United States, in Charleston and Savannah, up in Philadelphia. We've all kinds of synagogues. When we lived down in Newport News, God just opened doors, and we connected there. Also, through my son, Jonathan, making Aliyah to Israel, has opened a huge door to connect to the Jewish community through organizations like Nefesh B'Nefesh and Gerin Zabal. And we even ended up being invited to the Israeli embassy in Washington, which has flipped me out. I could not believe that happened. And hearing the Israeli ambassador, it was pretty incredible, actually. Also, the feast in our neighborhood, just in connecting, the Jewish community is made up of Jewish people, individuals, and having Jewish people in our home for Passover Seders, etc., the feast is a really good way to connect in the Jewish community. I think what Mike and Bob said, going being part of the JCC, those kind of things are really good. We did visit a synagogue locally on Yom HaShoah. I think I've been to a couple on that. That's a real good time to connect to the community. Also through my work and business, God has opened enormous amounts of doors into the Jewish community with that, and sharing my faith quite a few times. Anyway, I think that's enough for now, but you get some of the ideas here.
Thank you very much, Doug. I asked Eric if he would share, but I think Eric isn't here, so let me ask David Elliott if you would come up.
Well, I wrote a few notes down. being active in the Jewish community as a believer in Yeshua, I came to know Yeshua. I grew up actually in this area, in this community, and went to a local synagogue. And later coming to know Yeshua in college, university, and then coming back to live here, in a way still connected through my family. And I attended their congregation since coming back numerous times. They have Sunday morning programs they have for people, I guess, at their synagogue to hear about Israel and hear different topics. I've gone to some of those. Just getting acclimated back into Passover again, the meaning of Passover through my family and, through here even. And just Jewish identity was just instilled in me after coming to know Yeshua. Part of me at that time was just resistant to it. I thought, kind of like what Mike was saying, that I'm a Christian now and this doesn't pertain to me anymore, but God showed me otherwise. So really going back into the Jewish community really helped solidify that identity in me. As an adult, I relearned Hebrew again. I took Hebrew classes at a synagogue in Arlington. And then also at the JCC, I took Hebrew classes there, which helped me understand, from the Torah again, and getting back into that and connecting to Israel. I did join the JCC over the years. I'm no longer a member because of me moving a little further away and just the funds to pay for it every year. But I was a member for several years. I was active pretty much every Tuesday night for a while. I did Israeli folk dancing at the JCC over the years. Not anymore. And I even went to other Israeli dance venues and became part of a dance troupe where we went to different synagogues and presented Israeli folk dance to different people around the region. I was in a softball team with the JCC. And participate in softball, so they have actively do sports. And I worked out at the JCC in Northern Virginia probably 2 to 3 times a week when I was involved with it. I would go all the time, and got to know people. Still two people to this day who I still speak with, and they both know I'm a believer in Yeshua. Another experience I had was Volunteers for Israel. It's the Sar-El Volunteers. It's different Sar-El, not Sar-El Tours with Jonathan Moore, but this is Sar-El Volunteers for Israel. And you get to, I met people through that, going there, being people locally who had to scream you to go, and then going involved with that, and you get to volunteer on a military base in Israel and help out the soldiers. So that was just a wonderful experience. And just going to Israel and being connected to Israel in that way. And when you go to the JCC, all the signs are in Hebrew. I really like that. And it made me feel like at home just to walk in and see, Shirutim, bathroom in Hebrew. like the signs and stuff, men's locker room and all that stuff. So I just, have made connections that way. It's there still in me, despite not being a member of the JCC anymore. But I have connections. Thank you.
Well, that's the end of my message. I would like to ask the Lord to bless us and direct our attention but through the Holy Spirit convicting us as to our need to be more a part of the wider Jewish community. This is not just for us. This is his plan. It's his plan that the Jewish people of the world discover their covenant identity. One of the covenant identities they have is the new covenant, and many have yet to discover that, but we could help them, but we can't help them if we don't know them, if we don't have any contacts, if we don't touch them. So Lord, bless our congregation, continue to bless our congregation, lead us each individually and congregationally in those particular functions, activities that you would have us to serve in. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be your servant. B'shem Yeshua. Amen. And now may I